are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
You're going to start your studs. You know, I'm not going to spend time talking about people's stud players. It just...
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
If you took someone in the first three or four rounds and you're not starting them week one, unless they're injured, then there's something wrong with you. You've made a poor decision in life.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Yeah, maybe Brandon Coleman could be the guy. So Brandon Coleman maybe is on pickup speed dial if Odell doesn't play. I love me some Laquan, but I don't know about this week. We'll have to see. So
we are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for Friends of Fantasy Benefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Mike Warner. Mike, it's week one.
It is week one. I'm so happy. I've been waiting for NFL season to start. It's one of my favorite times of the year. Fall is coming. It's already starting to cool down a little bit in Tennessee, where I'm from, and you can just kind of smell it in the air. So I'm definitely excited for week one. It's going to be a really thrilling season, I think.
I'm so excited. And, like, we've got a really good slate of games. Like, there's some games there's obviously some games that are like, ugh, I do not want to have to watch that one.
Jets Bills.
Yeah, exactly. It's just Jets Bills is kind of towards the top of the list. But at least I think other than that one, there's at least intriguing storylines in each game. So
I agree.
let's just jump right in, and kind of move through these games, because we've got, what, 14 more? We already covered one, and I don't want to spend 20 minutes on each game. So otherwise I'll turn into the first time we ever did a week preview. That was a 3-hour show. This will not be a 3-hour show, mostly because I think my wife would kill me.
So would mine.
So let's talk about that thrilling Jets-Bills game. What's your takeaway, Mike?
A takeaway is just don't watch it, I guess. That's my main focus. Is I mean, there's, you know who you're starting. I have Bilal Powell as a top 15 running back this week, and I think that he is going to be the focal point of the Jets offense. While Josh McCown is behind center here, I suppose you can feel good about Powell getting at least 4, 5, 6 receptions. Other than that, you're really, I know you're probably going to focus on the Bills side, and there's really not much to focus on there either, but this is just a blah kind of game. I like Bilal Powell on the Jets side. That's about it. If you're I saw a couple people place bids on Jermaine Kearse this week in a couple of my leagues, and I suppose that's fine. He is a established wide receiver in the NFL, but I'm not playing him this week. I don't even have him inside my top 50 wide receivers, so there's no Jets receiver that I am willing to play, and Bilal Powell is about it on the Jets side.
I mean, I think if you're like desperate because of the postponement of the Miami-Tampa game, I could see you suiting up Robbie Anderson as like a wide receiver 3 in a PPR.
Maybe, yeah. I don't even think I would have to look for where I have him ranked, but I don't even think I have him in the top 50 as well. I have him at 50 exactly.
So you I'm right next to you. Where do I have him ranked? Because I'm still
38th.
38th. So I mean, I could see it if you were desperate. Maybe you kind of punted wide receiver a little bit or something like that. But for the most part, we've got, what, 30 teams of players where, to choose from. It's not like, just because we lost these two teams in week one, you shouldn't be like struggling. There aren't a ton of injuries. There isn't a ton to worry about. So I'm with you. Bilal Powell is the play, virtually of the game. I don't really, think of much else in terms of guys I'd be willing to start out of that game.
McCoy, obviously.
Well,
on the Bills
side.
Yeah,
McCoy. And you're going to start your studs. I'm not going to spend time talking about people's stud players. It just,
agreed.
If you took someone in the first three or four rounds and you're not starting them week one, unless they're injured, and not playing, suspended, something like that, then there's something wrong with you. You've made a poor decision in life. All right. Anything else you want to talk about with this game?
No.
Let me think. Is there anything else that's
the defenses? I would say the Bills defense is worth a speculation play if are streaming defenses.
Oh, let me just real quick. I would try to avoid starting any Bills receivers because I don't know what the quarterback situation is going to look like. Tyrod Taylor, when he was healthy, looked like absolute garbage. So I would avoid start. And a lot of people drafted Zay Jones. I know a lot of people drafted Jordan Matthews. If I had any other reasonable option, I would be starting them, or starting them over those two guys this week. You know, I already mentioned Robbie Anderson. You already talked about Bilal Powell. I just want to give my two cents on Jermaine Kearse.
Okay.
Because like you said, a lot of people spent fab picking him up. His situation didn't get any better.
No, I agree.
Like he's a physically gifted wide receiver. He's on a new team with a much worse quarterback situation. And he's never really produced much other than a couple plays here and there in games that were on TV. So like don't deal with I wouldn't be rushing to pick him up, and I definitely would not be starting him.
I agree. I mean, if you're going to take a guy with fab anyways, like I would just go with Ardarius Stewart. Like I feel like he has a higher upside
I love Ardarius Stewart.
Exactly. So like his talent level is much better than somebody like Jermaine Kearse. Yes, whenever you draft a receiver or a tight end, you're also drafting the quarterback with that. And you know, obviously the Jets situation is about as bad as it gets in football. So yes, it is a long shot for Stewart or any Jets receiver to have a ton of value this year. But Jermaine Kearse, I couldn't agree with your point more. Like, I understand if you want to, you know, maybe get some type of value out of him at the beginning of the season. But listen to this. He has to learn a whole new playbook, and he has to, you know, learn probably two or three different quarterbacks this season on the Jets. He's not a high enough upside play for me to be putting waiver claims on him. He's especially not high enough to be playing this week. I don't care really how desperate you are. There's definitely somebody that you can start over Jermaine Kearse. I mean, it's just not really a relevant situation.
Yeah. Ardarius Stewart reminds me a lot, and it's a little bit of a different skill set, but also a similar skill set in many ways, of Hines Ward.
Yeah, yeah, in some ways. I think he could be
I think
a little bit faster than him.
Yeah, I think Stewart's faster, but he's super physical. He's going to be a perfect slot receiver. You know, I don't know. I don't think his hands are quite as good as Hines Ward. Obviously, Hines Ward being like a Hall of Fame worthy player in his career, but he just like the physicality, you know, he's not necessarily a big guy, but man, he'll go and crush you downfield.
Absolutely.
All right. Jets versus the Bills. Who you got?
The Bills.
Bills as well. All right. Let's move on. Atlanta at Chicago. What's your takeaway, Mike?
My takeaway is I want to see what Tariq Cohen does. I want to see how he is implemented into this offense. He really impressed me during the preseason, and he really got limited snaps in the third preseason game, which a lot of people would probably be worried about or alarmed by. But me personally, I take that as they got rid of Jeremy Langford and they wanted to make sure that Cohen came out of the preseason healthy, which is why they didn't play him much in the third preseason game, in my opinion. So I'm really, really intrigued by him. I think that as the season goes on, he could establish himself as a legitimate flex play, especially with Cameron Meredith gone for the season. I like guys like Kendall Wright. I know you're a longtime Wright lover, and you know, maybe he kind of
apologist. Yeah. Truther.
At the end of the day, you have a guy, Meredith, that was sucking up a ton of targets for that team last year. And I honestly don't think that Glennon is long for this job. So you know, when you have Trubisky in there, Kendall Wright, who is a nice slot receiver, and somebody like Tariq Cohen, who can really add some space to this offense, I think that this week is a really good opportunity for us to get a good look at him. I mean, let's face it, the Falcons are probably going to win this game by a good amount, and Cohen should be the passing down back. So let's see what he can do. And if you're in a pinch, I wouldn't mind using him as a flex.
Yeah, I'm just going to mention, We may get a DFS podcast together at some point. We definitely will probably not get one together this week. But I just want to mention kind of two kind of cheap DFS plays and guys I'm actually really interested in watching this week. So Austin Hooper is $3,000 on DraftKings.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're an Austin Hooper fan.
Yep.
And I'm also very interested to see how much he's used in this offense. And then Kendall Wright, like you mentioned, is extremely cheap this week. And without Cameron Meredith, I think he is going to be highly targeted, and he could score a lot of points, especially in a PPR format. So on DraftKings, which is full PPR, very interested in him. I've got him in a number of lineups. And then Kevin White. I mean, the upside has always been huge, but he's never been able to actually be on the field. Like, am I right in saying that he's never actually had an NFL snap in a regular season game?
No, he played a couple games last year.
Did he play? Okay, I couldn't remember. But I mean, like, he's never been able to stay on the field. Huge physical talent, speedy as hell. I don't know. I mean, they're going to be throwing a lot in this game because, like you mentioned, they're going to be down. I have the Falcons winning by like 32 points.
Oh wow!
in my prediction,
that's a lot.
It is a lot. So yeah. So I mean, So Kevin White could get a lot of looks as well with the Bears. I think we'll probably have to abandon the run game at some point fairly early on and throw the ball a lot. And this is going to be the problem for Jordan Howard, I think, all year long. And something I've talked about on my radio show a bunch, I really don't like Jordan Howard this year because I think teams are going to stack the box against him, and then eventually the Bears are going to have to abandon the run a lot during games. So.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that Desmond Trufant gets Kevin White, which is why I didn't really mention him. But at the same time, you know, Kevin White he was getting better last year before he was injured. So if he ends up coming into this game pretty much right and his upside is the same as it's been in the last couple of years, then yeah, he can definitely pass by Trufant. But I would kind of wait and see.
Yeah. All right. Bears versus the Falcons. Who you got?
Falcons.
Yeah. Falcons. Let's move on. Talk about who's next on the list. We have Baltimore. We have Baltimore at Cincinnati. What's your takeaway, Mike?
Joe Mixon. Let's see what happens here. I did not draft Mixon in one spot in any of the drafts that I did. So
I have one share in eight leagues.
I mean, if you're in a keeper league, then I wouldn't have given you any of advice to kind of pass on him in any of those drafts, just because I do think the long-term upside is that of a running back one. And really the reason that I didn't draft him anywhere wasn't because Jeremy Hill was on top of the depth chart or anything like that. Really, it comes down to, I hate the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line. They have multiple guys to throw to on the outside. Also in the slot, if Tyler Eifert stays healthy, they have John Ross. He's not going to be playing in this game, but they do have him for long-term purposes. And I just don't feel like Mixon's going to get the ball in the red zone. I watched every game in the preseason, and once it got down to inside the five, they wanted to give the ball to Hill. So if I can't rely on any type of red zone touches or end zone, you know, goal to go situations for Joe Mixon, then I'm really not that intrigued by it, especially since there's no real studs on the offensive line for Cincinnati. So I think that Mixon, while I have him as a top 30 play, I believe in my ranks, I just don't have any shares of him, and I'm really not feeling him, at least for the beginning of the season. Maybe as the season goes on, we will see him kind of emerge as a running back two, running back one option. But where he was going on draft day was the reason that I didn't end up with shares. And I can kind of see that continuing as we go through week one.
Yeah, I took, I think, one shot on him. I actually have more shares of Jeremy Hill because Jeremy Hill was just going so cheap. And even just if I can get a couple games out of him where he was going, it was worth a shot. It's a very difficult. I have Mixon as a low end number two. I have him as my 24th ranked running back, and the only reason I have him that high is he's just so strong and explosive. Like, he's one of those guys that I don't think necessarily needs a full workload to do something special.
Sure.
And so, you know, the Ravens D is pretty decent. So I don't think like he's going to have like an overpowering game, but he's one of those guys that just because he's not getting like the goal line carries doesn't mean he can't score a touchdown. He can score from 30, 40 yards out. And I think that he has a real shot to do that this week. Even if he only gets 40% of the carries.
Yeah.
Let's see. The other interesting thing for me in this game is I want to see how the Baltimore Ravens rushing attack kind of pans out. Danny, you know, I want to see what Danny Woodhead's role is going to be, how many carries he gets. I mean, obviously he's going to be involved in the passing game. I want to see how much of the first and second down work that Terrence West gets. And I also want to see Breshad Perriman coming off injury. You know, I want to see if he is actually going to have any sort of real role. I want to see what his target share is, what his snap count is. Now, he's coming off injuries as well during the preseason, so who knows how much he actually plays. But I definitely, you know, he was a lot of people's sleeper last year, a breakout pick last year. I want to see if there's anything behind that.
Yeah, I like Danny Woodhead, especially for PPR. We'll see what happens. I have him as a top 35 option in non-PPR or standard formats, at least right now. And then I have Terrence West right in front of him. So I'm kind of hedging my bets there. But we'll see. I actually really like Buck Allen as a just deep, you know, stash if you wanted to keep him on your way on either on waiver wire speed dial or just on your team as a, you know, just a stash to see what happens, because Terrence West, I don't believe in. And while
I don't either, but they seem to hate Buck Allen.
I don't know, man. Like, we'll see. I think Buck Allen might win this thing at the end of the day. With Dan, and when I say win this thing, I mean get the lion's share of the in-between the tackles runs. We'll still see Danny Woodhead have his normal passing down situation, you know, role. But I do like what this situation is going to kind of bring. Joe Flacco is coming off injury. I don't think they're going to want to sling it too much. Mike Wallace is in a really good situation against Drake Kirkpatrick this week. So, you know, Mike Wallace could be a good option. But other than that, like, I think that West is going to have a very middling game, and Danny Woodhead will probably be the one that, if you were in DFS, especially in DraftKings where it's full point PPR, maybe you could take a shot on there. But I'm not really too enthusiastic about the Ravens offense in general, which is why Buck Allen is kind of on my radar.
Okay. All right, Ravens versus the Bengals. Who you got, Mike?
Going Ravens, week one.
Man, this one is one of those that I went with the home team. So Bengals win. It's going to be too close to bet the spread, I think.
At some point, it has to be, like, the jig has to be up for Marvin Lewis, right? Like,
I don't think so. I mean, they just, you know, Paul Brown just doesn't give a shit.
I think it's more like the Bengals have built a sustained contender, not a team that's ever contending for a Super Bowl, but they're always in contention. And maybe they're just doing, I'm sure the Bengals home crowd does a great job of attending games. I bet that they sell out the majority of their games.
I bet the owner looks over at the Browns across the state and goes, well, I could have that, because the Bengals were that for a while.
For a while, yeah.
There was a good stretch of years where the Bengals were absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the fact that the Bengals have been to the playoffs a bunch, won the division a bunch, under Marvin Lewis, I feel like he is, you know, I mean, outside of like Bill Belichick, is got like one of the safest jobs in football.
Well, he's the second longest tenured coach as of right now, behind Bill Belichick, so
yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
All right, let's move on to the Steelers at the Browns. What's your takeaway here, Mike?
The revenge game for Joe Hayden right off the bat in week one. How about that?
And Sammy Coates.
And Sammy Coates. That's so crazy.
like they're going, they could go up against each other potentially on different teams than they were on last week.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I'm honestly surprised. I understand the Browns have a new up and coming corner and they wanted to kind of see what they have in him, but like I just don't really get it with Joe Hayden. But I guess my takeaway would be what the workload would be for Le'Veon Bell. It's really not much that I care about though, because I still have him as a top three choice this week. I suppose if you're a little bit worried about him getting injured, this is a spot to, you know, really monitor how he's looking on the field, even if he doesn't necessarily leave the game or something. But in general, I think it's just kind of an easy game to predict. You have a Steelers team that is historically awesome against the Browns, just like many other teams. And the Browns have a massive, I think the streak broke last year, but they had a 16 or 17 straight game stretch where they allowed multiple touchdown passes to quarterbacks. So, I, you know, Big Ben's in a favorable spot. The whole entire Steelers offense is in a favorable spot. So I guess you can kind of talk about the Browns situation. Maybe that's the only thing intriguing here. But other than that, start your Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's really intriguing what the offense in the passing game. I mean, I think Grell is obviously going to get a ton of work. I really think he is going, you know, the Steelers, you know, as much as you talk about Marvin Lewis still having a job, like how does Mike Tomlin still have a job? You know, I mean, he's supposed to be a defensive guy, defensive guru, and the Pittsburgh Steelers defense has sucked for quite a while now. I think Carell's going to eat. But the interesting thing for me is what the passing game looks like under Kizer.
I love Kizer, by the way.
I like him a lot, too. But, I mean, I think, you know, we have no real idea of, like, who his favorite target's going to be, like, who the guy. There are a lot of Corey Coleman apologists out there. You know, I kind of have a feeling Kenny Britt's going to be a high-volume guy in this offense. You know, I've been a big fan of David Njoku. You know, I don't think Sammy Coates probably gets a ton of snaps this week, it being his first week in Cleveland. So, but I mean, he's a guy who could be interesting later on in the season as he gets kind of adjusted to the offense. I really want to see like who's getting the most targets in this offense, and because I think this team is better than people think they are.
Yeah, I like the Browns, what they're doing with the team. I do think though that Duke Johnson is going to end up with more points on the season than Isaiah Crowell. I'm not a believer. Yeah, I don't think it's that bold, though. Like, you're making it sound like it's outrageous, and it's really not.
I think it is outrageous.
It's not. If you watch Crowell, he's a fine running back. I think that he runs with a lot of ferocity, and he's just really, really good in between the tackles. But at some point, the Browns are – the reason why they drafted Kizer, the reason why they have Duke Johnson in the first place is so that they can spread things out a bit.
You're talking about an 80p difference of almost 70 picks.
Yeah, I know that's kind of crazy, but especially in PPR formats, Duke Johnson's going to end up with more points. I think that this is the season where Duke Johnson finally ends up getting at least 60, 70 receptions and, you know, does insanely well for himself. Like, I don't buy Crowell. I never did. I bought him a couple years ago when he was going extremely late and essentially was close to being a practice squad player. Now, all of a sudden, he's a top three round pick. And, you know, I just can't bank on that from somebody like Crowell, who has already had behavioral problems multiple times, can certainly, you know, be a bust this year easily based on where he was being drafted. I love Duke Johnson, though. That's kind of more, it's more so that I love Duke Johnson and where he was drafted and what his role is going to be with Kizer. I watched a lot of Cleveland in the preseason, and like I said before, I'm impressed with Kizer. Yes, he has a long way to go, but I'm impressed with where he's going right now. And then I also love his kind of rapport with Duke Johnson in general. I think that he's a really good check down option for Kizer himself. And you know, Coleman, I didn't really draft a lot of him, but I do think that he's a worthwhile option as well. I think the main guys that you'll have to kind of worry about is Isaiah Crowell and somebody like Kenny Britt if you went that route.
Every draft season, you know, that comes by, I play in a fair amount of leagues. I don't play in as many football leagues as I do baseball leagues, which I think trips people
Thank
out
God.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to play in like 30 fantasy football leagues, but I'm only playing in 8 this year. But there's always a guy or two that at the end of draft season where I go, man, I wish I had a share of this guy, or I wish I had more shares of this guy. You know who that guy is for me this year?
Corey Coleman?
Martavis Bryant.
Oh, yeah, I have multiple shares of him.
I have Love no him. Shares of Martavis Bryant, and I really wish I did because I think he could be a stud this year. All right, Steelers at the Browns. Who you got, Mike?
Steelers.
I was really close to picking the Browns in this game, but I'm taking the Steelers to win in a nail biter. Arizona Cardinals at the Detroit Lions. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Let's see what the Amir Abdullah train has to do this week, I guess.
Speaking of being an apologist.
Yeah, speaking of being an apologist, I love Amir Abdullah. I didn't rank him as such this week. I have him as a top 25 option. Most people probably have him in the top 20 or somewhere around there. But I really like Abdullah. I think Detroit could really win this game. I don't really buy Arizona this season. I do think that they're going to be in rebuild mode or half rebuild mode.
I mean,
it's not really a hot take. It's more
hot take everywhere. I mean, just that's a ridiculous idea, but go ahead.
Well, Amir Abdullah is one of we kind of talked about it the other day or last night on the preview show for the Thursday night game. There is just very few backs that have the opportunity to have the full workload to themselves. And I'm not saying Abdullah hasn't a great chance of getting the full entire workload because nobody really does. Even David Johnson cedes some carries to other people. But Abdullah does have the chance to get 70%+ of the running back touches, minus somebody like Theo Riddick, who's going to obviously come in on passing downs. But Detroit has come out multiple times and said that they don't mind Abdullah and Riddick being on the field together. I mean, let's face it, there are Marvin Jones injury away from having to use Theo Riddick and Abdullah a ton, 70%+ of the time, I would say. Yes, they have other options that they can use in the slot and such, but I think Abdullah is going to be their guy. They're going to try and ground and pound with him. Arizona's rush defense isn't as great as people think. They lost Calais Campbell. I think that there's multiple avenues for them to be kind of susceptible to running back points. And while I have Abdullah as a top 25 option, not really a top 15 or so this week, I do think that he's worthy of being a running back two consideration in your lineup. And I just want to throw a shout out to John Brown, because I think that he's going to be an absolute stud once again this year.
If he stays healthy.
It's a big if, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's always – it's not a matter of talent with John Brown. It's a matter of can he stay on the field. I mean, like, I saw a couple of catches he made in the preseason where he's looked like vintage John Brown, but I just don't know if he's going to stay healthy. I think he could struggle a little bit against Darius Slay. Because I assume that's going to be the matchup he kind of draws for the most part this week.
Fitz is going to get Quandre Diggs more than likely, and that's a top 10 matchup in terms of quarterbacks versus wide receivers. So,
Larry Fitzgerald was someone posted kind of what the projections were for ownerships in DFS was going to be this week, and Larry Fitzgerald was projected to be the highest owned wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, and actually,
if you're using Larry Fitzgerald in a GPP, that is not a contrarian play at all this week.
No, it's definitely not.
I'm really interested to see what Kenny Golladay has early on.
Really? Kenny Golladay? That's where you're going with this?
Yeah. I actually kind of buy the hype. I talk about this a lot on this podcast, is I don't typically trust rookie wide receivers early on because it can take a little bit to learn how to get off the line of scrimmage and press coverage and run very good routes. But Golladay has looked the part in the preseason. I think Justin Bethel is kind of a good barometer of being like an average corner in the NFL. To kind of give a barometer of where Golladay is at. I'm not starting him anywhere. I just want to see how he plays. And I would like this to be the end of the Eric Ebron discussion as a viable fantasy tight end. Can we please just get off of the Eric Ebron bandwagon? Because there's still people in the fantasy industry think this guy is going to turn into a stud, and he's not. He's just not. It's just never going to happen.
If by stud you mean like top 15 to 12 option, then that's pretty fair. And I'm about as big of an Eric Ebron fan as you'll find, but you'll never see me posting him above a top 12 option. I think I have him at 12 this week. Yeah, I have him at 12. Like, that's about as high as I will go on Ebron. Ever since that Oakland game, what was it, last year, the year before, where Oakland had given up like 7 touchdowns in a matter of 3 games to tight ends, and Ebron was on like a hot streak. After he posted nothing then, I was kind of done with Ebron.
How many touchdowns do you think Eric Ebron scored last year?
I don't know, probably like 3. I'd say my over-under for him this year is like 3.5, 4.
He scored 1 touchdown in week 1.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And then didn't score another touchdown all season long.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Detroit loves to go to the running backs in the red zone, which is kind of why I like Abdullah so much, because I do think that they'll use him there. But as far as Galladay goes, I'm intrigued by the talent. I don't think he does anything this week. He's questionable to even play. He's got an ankle injury. We'll see what happens. But I do like Galladay long term for the slot. I don't think Golden Tate will last forever there, and they're going to need somebody to replace him. Galladay could easily be that guy. So,
all right. Cardinals versus the Lions. What you got, Mike?
I got the Cardinals and a nail biter.
Yeah, me too. All right, let's move on and talk about Jacksonville at Houston. What's your takeaway, Mike?
Jags defense. I have the Jags defense in so many places. And if you look at their schedule, it's actually pretty decent, especially if the Colts end up not getting Andrew Luck for multiple weeks, which we'll kind of find out later on. But the Jaguars schedule, like, play Houston this week. Then they have Tennessee, who is kind of hit or miss. Baltimore, the Jets. Pittsburgh's not a very good matchup. But then you got the Rams. You got Indy. Cincinnati, not great. But, like, if you go through all of their matchups, especially in the playoffs, they end with San Francisco. I love the Jaguars. Their defense is just – they added A.J. Bouye. They obviously have multiple first-round options. Not all first-round, but multiple top-tier draft picks on that team. They're going to try and ground and pound, use Leonard Fournette, get the ball out of Blake Bortles' hands. But I love the Jaguars' defense. I'm willing to play them this week in pretty much any situation unless you have one of the top-tier defenses. I have them as a top-eight option.
I like the call. And I mean, you know, you and I really liked the Jaguars defense last year. Now that
didn't work out
fantastically. But yeah, I have them as my number nine defense this week. I think they're definitely streamable, especially if, you know, you've got one of those top tier defenses that maybe has a really bad matchup. You know, for instance, Seattle, who is a top tier defense, you know, playing at Green Bay. I don't love the matchup, and I rank them lower than Jacksonville this week because of it. I'm on the same page as you in terms of the Jacksonville defense. I am interested in seeing what Tom Savage can do now as, like, the full-time starter in Houston. Not because I'm interested in him at all, but, I mean, could it have gotten any worse for DeAndre Hopkins after Brock Osweiler? I mean, Tom Savage has to be an improvement to what we saw last year on Osweiler. Now, Hopkins gets Jalen Ramsey, who was able to keep out of the end zone both of their matchups last season. But, I mean, Hopkins still is going to be highly targeted. I think he was a little bit of a value in terms of where he was going in drafts this year. So, I'm real interested to see how the passing game goes in Houston. And, you know, if it doesn't go well, how soon until we see Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I think we see Deshaun Watson fairly quickly. Not as quickly as we see Trubisky, probably, but I think we see Watson pretty quickly. I'm not buying Hopkins. Like, I've always thought of him as a back-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three. He had that one stud season, which was great, and I'm sure a lot of people, you know, made headway in their fantasy leagues because of that, but you know, I have him as, what, a top 20 option this week? I haven't looked to see, but somewhere around the same vicinity. Actually, I'm at top 11, go figure. But I don't love Hopkins for this season. I think that the volume will be there, and obviously Savage will probably be twice as good as Osweiler in terms of Hopkins' value. But at the same time, the Texans' offense as a whole, their offensive linemen are terrible. They have three guys that are ranked by PFF as below average, actually pretty bad. And then they also have Lamar Miller there. So I think they're going to continue to try and ground and pound. And just Hopkins just doesn't do it for them. Do you have any shares of Hopkins this year?
I got my only share last night in my home PPR league that I'm the defending champ.
And what round did you get him in?
Third.
Okay. Was he your second wide receiver, though, probably?
Yeah, I went – I had the fourth pick. I took Julio Jones. Then I took Todd Gurley. And then I took Hopkins, I believe.
Yeah, so that makes sense because then you're not really using him, you know, using Hopkins as your top option. So, you know.
Yeah, I went I went my first four picks. Julio, Gurley, Hopkins, Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's not bad. I love me some Dalvin Cook. I'm sure we'll get to that, but
I think round five and went Jameson Crowder because you know how much I love me some Jameson Crowder. One more thing I want to kind of bring up before we move on from this game. I'm interested to see how much work Dante Foreman gets.
I guess we'll see. I do like that Zach Martin is the center for Houston, so that should at least be better than last year because, you know, last season they couldn't get any separation for Lamar Miller. I know everybody was like, well, maybe the Dolphins were right the whole time, not giving Miller a ton of touches. It was completely due to Brock Osweiler not adding any type of space for the offense because he was so inept with his throwing. And then also the fact that the offensive line was so bad, but they do have a stud left tackle and Dwayne Brown, and then they also added Martin, so that could help Lamar Miller's chances this year. But you know, as far as Foreman goes, I don't have any shares of him. I'm not really impressed with his college tape. I'm not really a big fan. But
have,
if he
you
were,
not watched him in the preseason, because he's
I have
fantastic
yeah.
in the preseason.
He has, and you know that does make me think about it a little bit, and I'm obviously not right all the time when watching players, but I do think that if Lamar Miller were to go down, it would be more of a timeshare, not just a full-on Deontay Foreman show. I do like a couple of their Tyler Urban being the main other option that I like in terms of passing down work and such, and he still might get some passing down work even though Foreman should be the ideal handcuff behind Miller himself. But in short, I think Foreman could be interesting with a better offensive line that Houston has and, to be quite frank, better quarterback play. So,
all right. Jacksonville at Houston, who you got?
Jacksonville, even though Houston's in like by far the best position ever, you know, coming off of Hurricane Harvey, and you know they're gonna be like in the most hyped, you know, crowd ever right now. But I'm gonna give it to Jacksonville, even though it seems like it probably shouldn't go that way.
No, it's Houston. They're at home after Hurricane Harvey. That defense is just so good.
Wait a minute, are you admitting that narrative plays a little bit of a role in a game?
No, it's all about the defense.
It sounds to me like narrative's playing a little bit of a role.
Let's move on. Let's talk about the Oakland Raiders at the Tennessee Titans. What's your takeaway, Mike?
Corey Davis. I know that he is supposed to have limited role this year, but or not this year, this week since he's coming back from his hamstring injury, I believe. But I think that this is a great opportunity to buy him low or somewhat low. Before he went down in the preseason, he was rising up draft boards. And now he is, you know, especially the last few drafts that I did, he was going at a much more economical cost. And I think that he is going to be a second half surger. I think that he could have not necessarily Odell Beckham numbers in the second half of the same Odell Beckham numbers that he had his rookie season. But I think that he could be a massive fantasy factor. And this is probably the best time to actually buy him for a pretty cheap cost. So I'm willing to go and get Corey Davis at any cost and just to check and see what he does this week against the Raiders defense that is still behind. Besides Khalil Mack, they've just done nothing. I really am a little bit disappointed with the Raiders. Like the reason that the Raiders will never make the Super Bowl, at least until, you know, Brady is out of New England, is because that defense just is not good enough.
You're right. It's got pieces and it's got components of the defense that are really interesting and really good, but yeah, this is gonna be an interesting game because I think the Raiders are soft up the middle.
They are.
And Tennessee is going to try to attack them up the middle
with a really good offensive line as well.
One of the best offensive lines in football.
Yep.
And that brings me to an interesting discussion because, I mean, when you rank every, you know, relevant fantasy player, there's obviously going to be times in which you disagree with, you know, with someone. You know, you and I ranked, you know, a ton of players this week. I think we each ranked about 60 running backs, 60 wide receivers, every single quarterback, every single defense, 30 something tight ends. And I don't know if there's a more glaring disagreement this week between you and I than on Marcus Mariota. And this is...
wow, it is massive. I didn't even realize that. Oh, my gosh.
This is really surprising to me because you and I have in the past been agreed a lot about what Marcus Mariota is as a passer. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be a good fantasy option, and he has been a good fantasy option in the past, but I think we both agreed that he needs a lot of development still as an actual quarterback, not just a fantasy quarterback. I ranked him 15th, and that I know is going to be a hot take, and people are going to give me shit for ranking him so low. You ranked him 5th. I'm going to say why I ranked him 15th, and then you can kind of give your rebuttal. Like I mentioned, the Raiders are soft in the middle. I think Tennessee runs the ball a whole lot. Like you mentioned, Corey Davis is you know, going to be only used in specific situations, according to Mike Mularkey. I don't think he's going to see the field a ton. Eric Decker is still coming off an injury. I don't know how much he is going to, or how effective he is going to be. I think that the Titans run the ball as much as they can. They don't give Mariota the opportunity to throw a lot, in spite of the fact they added a bunch of weapons this this offseason. I don't think he is a QB1 this week. Mike, your rebuttal.
Well, last season, Oakland was terrible against the quarterback position. Each of the last four games they played, they gave up multiple touchdowns to every quarterback. That included Trevor Siemian and Brock Osweiler, might I add. So Mariota, yes, it's true that he does not use his legs as much as he has in especially when he came out of college. But, you know, say what we want about him passing, and I hate Mariota, so you and I have always agreed about that. It's never been a disagreement there. But I do think that they end up throwing the ball a little bit more in the red zone than we think. Murray, while he had an amazing year last year, I have no shares of him this season, and I do think that they are going to lean on Henry more. So, yeah, there is the possibility that they end up getting two or three rushing touchdowns in this game, but there also is a possibility that they end up throwing three or four touchdowns, and Mariota would obviously be the benefactor of that. So I'm kind of pinning the chances of the Raiders giving up multiple touchdowns to a quarterback on Mariota here, and that's why I have him ranked so high. But, I mean, all of these are kind of, you know, shots in the dark. I mean, it's week one. We could see a completely different kind of scheme by these teams that we've seen in the past. But at least as of last season, especially towards the end, the Raiders couldn't stop any quarterback, and that includes Brock Osweiler.
All right. Raiders versus Titans. Who you got?
I'm going to go Titans.
Wow. In Oakland, you're going to go Titans?
Yep.
Wow. I think you're wrong, and I think the Raiders win this fairly handily.
Do you think who's your division winner for the AFC South? Texans?
Yeah, Texans.
Yeah, I think Titans win. So
it wouldn't surprise me. I think the Titans are very, very good, actually.
Just so you know, Tennessee is favored. I didn't even realize that, but they are favored. High over-under, 51. 51 over-under.
Yeah. I have the Raiders winning 31-21.
Wow. High game. Go ahead.
Yeah. Eagles at my Washington Redskins. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Wendell Smallwood, I want to see what his workload is. I have a ton of Wendell Smallwood.
And DFS, yeah.
Yeah, just everywhere. The Redskins were obviously hideous against the running back position last year. I don't think they really changed much on their defense to be able to stop the run as much this season. So I'm big on Wendell Smallwood. I really took that kind of mid preseason report that LeGarrette Blount might not even make the roster. I really took that to heart. And when you watch Blount this preseason, he's just not elusive in any way. He's not able to break tackles. He looks just not, he doesn't look horrible, but he definitely does not look like he's going to be fitting this scheme very well. Kind of looks similar to DeMarco Murray a couple years ago, and DeMarco Murray is obviously a much more superior running back than LeGarrette Blount himself. So I think Wendell Smallwood and Darren Sproles fit this scheme much better, and I'm willing to kind of watch what Wendell Smallwood does this week. If you're in a pinch, I'm willing to play him. I don't think that it's a smart move to rely on him this week, but if you are, you know, I mean, you were already planning, if you were a Doug Martin owner, to have backups in place, but if you were going to play Jacquizz Rodgers, I could, you know, see or envision somebody playing somebody like Wendell Smallwood this week if you ended up losing somebody like Rodgers and stuff like that. But I really, this is more just a wait and see approach with Smallwood, but I really am intrigued by what he could do this year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on Smallwood. I don't think they really like Blount very much. And aside from the fact the Redskins were really awful on defense against the run last year, they've also lost Phil Taylor, their starting nose tackle.
Oh, yeah.
They lost Trent Murphy, their starting outside linebacker. And they lost Sua Cravens to retirement, their second year strong safety.
Nice.
Like, all in the last couple weeks. Like, I'm pretty sure Cravens and Taylor were this week. So, like, things are not going well in the Washington defense. So, I mean, I'm firing up Carson Wentz. I'm firing up Wendell Smallwood. I'm firing up Alshon Jeffrey. Nelson Agholor still can't catch, which is a problem at wide receiver, so I'm not firing him up. DFS option, Torrey Smith. I think he could stretch the field really well against the Redskins. He's boomer bust.
Do you think he gets Norman, though, or do you think it's Jeffrey that gets Norman? Because I've heard conflicting reports.
I would, well, you know what?
Norman doesn't usually follow, though, right? He kind of stays on one side.
No, Norman will follow.
Oh, does he follow? I'm mixing up him and Sherman. Sherman doesn't follow. He stays on the left. Yeah.
And that was the whole, that was like, they got into like a Twitter beef at one point.
Yeah, about that, yeah. So, I mean, if he's following Jeffrey, that's a problem.
Zach Ertz, but Norman wasn't as good as people, you know, he wasn't as good last year. Like, he was okay, but, like, you know, a lot of the reason why, you know, sometimes corners are good is because of scheme, because of help, and there's no help for him. Like, there's just, you know, and so, like, don't get me wrong, do I think... no matter who Norman matches up against, it definitely presents a problem for it. But Alshon Jeffrey, if healthy, like, there's no corner that's stopping Alshon Jeffrey when he's healthy. Like, I don't care who you are. So.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think that it's kind of – if you have Jeffrey, you have to play him, right? Because you took him as at least a wide receiver too for you. Yeah. And you have to kind of see what happens.
And you should because Alshon Jeffrey will be a wide receiver one this year.
Yeah, but to your point, Josh Norman was the 24th corner according to PFF last year. So
yeah, I mean, he's a number one corner in the league still, but he wasn't the, like, you know, top three guy he was in Carolina. Not to say he can't become that again, but I mean, he's just not, he just wasn't the threat that he was in Carolina. Zach Ertz,
love him, this week, love him this year.
You know, I mean, typically Zach Ertz only eats in December for some reason, but he gets to play the Redskins game week one. I think the Redskins are just absolutely atrocious against the tight end. Losing a guy like Cravens and Trent Murphy is huge for a guy like Zach Ertz. So I think Zach Ertz could have a huge game. All right, Redskins versus real quick, on the Redskins side of the ball. Kirk Cousins is my number four quarterback this week.
Oh, wow. Number four?
Number four. The Eagles may have the worst secondary. They do have the worst secondary in the league.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think it's the worst secondary. They do have a really decent front seven, mainly their linebackers.
And that plays into part of this. I don't think the Redskins are going to be able to run the ball very well. Even if they wanted to, they don't have a very good running back situation anyways. With Rob Kelly, being Rob Kelly, P. Ryan being in a little bit of trouble because of fumbling. I like Chris Thompson, and I think Chris Thompson is going to get a ton of work in this game. But I think the Redskins will throw just a shit ton of passes this game, and I think Kirk Cousins is going to, in spite of the fact I don't think he's a very good actual quarterback, the system's great for him, and I think he is going to throw all over that atrocious Eagle secondary.
Who do you have ranked higher, Terrell Pryor or Jameson Crowder?
I believe, give me a second, let me look. Let's see. I have Crowder at 19, and I have Pryor at 18.
I have Crowder a little bit higher, but I could easily swap both of them.
You mean lower?
I have Pryor higher than Crowder.
In PPR, Crowder is the guy.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are
reasons to believe that the Crowder will actually be the most productive wide receiver, even in standard leagues.
Yeah. I think that you're right on your point about the secondary. I don't have Cousins as a top four option. I have him as a top 10 option. But regardless, I do think that this game will be kind of high scoring in itself. And what about Samaje Perine? I haven't really talked to you this offseason about him
fumbles,
much. But
dude,
I have...
fumbles. If you can't hold on to the ball, you're not going to – it's the reason why Matt Jones is no longer on the team. Like, Matt Jones was a good running back. We just fumble the ball all the time, and they're not going to give him that's the reason Rob Kelly's the running back, the starting running back, and like I said, Matt Jones got cut. Is because he couldn't hold on the ball, and you know, Perine had some fumbling issues in the preseason. He had a ton of fumbling issues in college. I love the talent, but I mean, maybe they need to go get like Tiki Barber to come in and teach him how to, like, you know, because Tiki Barber used to have a ton of fumbling problems, and then, you know, worked on new grips, new ways of holding the ball, and really solved them later in his career. They need to bring someone in to work with these Washington running backs who seem to get fumbleitis by just being in DC.
Yeah, I still like Perine as a just another just stash type guy. Same thing with Buck Allen, just definitely, you know, stab him and But we'll see. I think Rob Kelly is essentially not as good version of Perine, but if Perine can't hold on to the ball, you're absolutely right. They're not going to play him. So
yeah, exactly. All right, Redskins versus the Eagles. Who do you got, Mike?
We got to go against your team. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
I'm going Redskins, baby.
Of course you are.
All right, Colts at Rams. Who you got?
Wait, you like who do I have in the game? Like, we're not going to talk
I mean, what's your take? I think this is going to be a pretty quick discussion.
Yeah, takeaway is I'm legitimately not starting any Colt unless it's Frank Gore as a flex, and I admittedly do not have Frank Gore on any teams this year, but yeah, you're starting your Rams. I think that Sammy Watkins is probably in the best spot he could possibly be in. There's no Vontae Davis this week. Obviously, the Colts don't have Andrew Luck. The Rams should be able to control the pace and the game in general. They do not have Aaron Donald, so that is something to worry about there, but I think that the Rams should have kind of an easy. Are the Colts the worst team in football without Andrew Luck? I mean, it's a legit question, right?
No, the Jets are the worst team in football.
But it's not that far away.
No, I mean, we're definitely... No, it is. I mean, the Jets are really that bad. I mean, like who do the Jets have of... Like, not even T.Y. Hilton's caliber. Like, Dante Moncrief's caliber.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's very true.
Like, they don't like they've got, like, when Bilal Powell is your best player on offense, there is a problem.
Yeah, I was more meaning defensively, because defensively I think they're
defensively,
pretty much
they might
like
be, Indianapolis might be worse than the Jets, but
yeah,
offensively
kind of
I don't think it's
mean,
close.
Yeah, regardless, I think that Todd Gurley probably makes people really happy this week, especially after a very troubling and disastrous season. Well, not really disastrous, but it was a very troubling and disappointing season last year. So I think that Todd Gurley will probably make his owners pretty happy to start this year. Brand new system, brand new coach, brand new time for the Rams. So I really like Watkins here, and I really like Todd Gurley, and I think that that's pretty much what you have to look forward to.
Yeah, I like Gurley. I think if you're desperate in a 2QB league, I think Jared Goff, like we were talking about, Indianapolis defense, and Goff has actually looked pretty good. I mean, like I mentioned when we were talking about the Redskins, Kirk Cousins is not a very good like NFL quarterback, but he's been productive largely in part because of Sean McVay, who's now the head coach in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I know Goff did not look good last year, but he's playing in a Jeff Fisher offense, and it really had no help other than Todd Gurley. They bring in Watkins, they bring in Robert Woods. I think Goff actually is a sneaky QB2, not just this week, but going forward. And I think the Rams are going to be a lot better than people give them credit for.
Yeah, we'll see about like them being good in terms of NFL, but I do like
that
their fantasy options more.
That defense is good.
It's okay. I'm not like totally in love with it.
Once Aaron Donald comes back.
Yeah, I'm more worried about Aaron Donald and
that
and
division
him
isn't good.
This is true.
You know, I mean, like I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think they're going to be in the race for it.
I was going to say, pump your brakes. I do think that they have a chance to come in second, like a small chance, but they do have not a rough schedule, but they do have some problems. They have at Seattle, obviously, one of their games. They have at Minnesota. They have at the New York Giants, at Dallas. That's a couple of really tough spots. They also have Washington. They also have Seattle at home for their second game. There's just New Orleans, Houston. I just don't love their schedule in general. Like, when I'm looking at it week to week, I don't necessarily favor them going into those matchups. I'd say they probably will be favored in like three or four games all season long. So,
well, this is one of them. They're favorite to win this game.
But if Luck was here, if Luck was playing, I don't think that the Rams would be favored by anything. I think it would probably be the Colts by like 3.5 or 4.5, something like that. But I mean, I do want to talk about the Colts really fast, since it's pretty easy to talk about this game. But Luck, there's a chance. I mean, the fact that they traded for Brissett tells me that there's certainly a chance that the Colts aren't expecting Luck back for a couple weeks. And even if they are expecting him back, like even as soon as next week, they don't necessarily expect him to stay healthy. So, when you're looking at these Colts players, is there an opportunity to buy low on somebody like Hilton or Moncrief? Or is there just no reason to try and buy them at all and try and get rid of any shares that you have so that you can maybe get yourself a higher upside option? Like, if you see Sammy Watkins go off in week one and you have T.Y. Hilton and we're getting word that Andrew Luck won't come back until week four, like, would you make that trade? T.Y. Hilton for Sammy Watkins? Like, if I'm going from my perspective, I think that I have Luck in multiple spots. I grabbed him later so that I could have a possible top five option for the second half of the season if it was that long. But a lot of people are just completely off the Colts, and I think that's kind of crazy for fantasy.
I agree with you somewhat. I don't necessarily think that the Brissett trade means that they think that Luck is going to be out for that long. I think Luck misses another week after this, and then there's a real chance he's back week three. I just think it is an indictment of Scott Tolzien, really. That they needed to bring in another quarterback. Would I buy low on Colts? I don't think you can buy low on T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, probably not, at least right now.
Yeah, I mean, even after this week, I don't think you're going to be able to. If we get through week two and Andrew Luck is still going to be out for week three, then I think maybe you have a chance to buy low on a guy like T.Y. Hilton. I think you can buy low on Dante Moncrief right now. I think there are people who are really low on him. I don't know what Jack Doyle – I think Jack Doyle really varies league to league, kind of dependent on his value. But I would try to buy low on Jack Doyle because I think Doyle is going to have a really nice year.
I think he will now. I wasn't really that high on Doyle, but the fact that Eric Swope went to IR, designated a return, that makes me feel a little bit more secure about Doyle's role, because Doyle is a good blocker. So I could have envisioned them going to two tight end sets, letting Doyle block, and then having Eric Swope, the former basketball player, go out there and run the routes, etc. But the fact that Swope is going to be out for the foreseeable future, it doesn't really help him. So I think Doyle probably is he's probably the best option to buy low of the Indy offense, to be honest with you. Maybe Moncrief as well, but Moncrief went really late. My last draft that I did, he went somewhere, it was a 12-team league. He went somewhere in the vicinity of the 10th round, somewhere around there, and that's pretty crazy, especially when or if Luck comes back. So,
all right. Indy,
Rams.
All right, I'm taking the Rams too in a blowout. We're gonna have to move through these next five games much quicker than we have already. Though we're not on a 3-hour pace, but that's at least good. Let's talk about Seattle at Green Bay. What's your takeaway?
Ooh, there's so many routes to go. I will talk about how about Tyler Lockett. I have Tyler Lockett in multiple spots, and I know Paul Richardson is right now the starter, at least according to the depth chart on Seattle, but Lockett is my guy. I grabbed Lockett and Corey Davis in a ton of drafts at the end, and I think that as the season goes on, obviously, barring health, with Lockett, we could see a really strong season out of him, maybe even wide receiver two-ish numbers if things played right. I'm really into Russell Wilson this season. I pretty much love everything about the Seattle offense, especially Jimmy Graham as well, except for the running back situation. And maybe that's something you and I can touch on, but I know a lot of people were on Rawls. I just don't buy it, especially based on his past health. And I mean, I love Rawls. I was one of the first people to even mention his name, but I can't really buy this running game, especially when the only person that seems to have a defined role is CJ Procise. And we can't even really expect him to get more than, 40%, 30% of the snaps. And that's going to be all in passing down. So I'm definitely foregoing the running situation here, at least until we get some clarity. But I'm buying the Seattle passing offense, and that starts this week.
Yeah, I think Rawls is going to play this week, and so I'm really interested to kind of see how the split takes place, because Rawls has looked like the best running back.
He has. Yes.
I mean, and it's not necessarily because he's looked great. It's most. I mean, he's barely been on the field. It's mostly because Eddie Lacy looks absolutely atrocious.
He has looked really bad, yes.
It's a really bad offensive line. It may be one of the worst offensive lines in football.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of staying away from the entire situation until I have a little bit more clarity after week one. I do like Rawls, and I do think if he is getting the majority of the carries, I think he's going to be a very productive running back. Because they are a team that wants to pound the ball. I think they're going to have some nice matchups here and there, but this is not the week that I'm messing around with either running back unless I have to. Let's see. On the other side of things, I'm interested to see kind of what Jamal Williams' role is going to be, what Ty Montgomery's official role is going to be. How many carries are they going to give Williams up the middle? He could be just a short yardage guy, touchdown vulture type guy, which has some value in standard leagues. But will he get more than that? Because I don't know how well Ty Montgomery can handle a full workload of touches. I mean, he's a guy that I think would probably do better with kind of just less touches in open space. But, I mean, right now he's considered their running back.
Yeah, I like Ty Montgomery when Green Bay is going to be in shootout-type situations, and I do think that this is going to be a shootout-type game. Green Bay has had a ton of success against the Seattle defense, so I'm not really worried about that. I do think that your normal run between the tackles type scheme is not going to work, though, because obviously Seattle has Bobby Wagner in the middle and they are very good at stopping the run. Mm-hmm. So I think that the more traditional style of play, which favors Jamal Williams, is not going to be used in this scenario. I do think Ty Montgomery is going to be the better back here. He's really bulked up, very similar to Amari Cooper. I think that that will help him in between the tackles. And he's, coming into this offseason, he knew he was going to be the running back. He didn't have to worry about playing receiver and all this other stuff. He obviously has another year under his belt with Aaron Rodgers. So I really like Montgomery, especially in PPR, as a solid running back too, with possibly three or four, possibly even more running back 1 week. So I do think Jamal Williams is a worthwhile stash, because if or when something happens to Montgomery, Williams will be a starting running back on a top three offense. So you certainly want a piece of that. But at the same time, I really do buy Montgomery. And, my one Packers love is Randall Cobb. I have him literally, I think, in 80% of the leagues I'm in. And I foregoed any, I don't even know if forego is a word. I definitely did not draft Davante Adams anywhere, and I grabbed Randall Cobb wherever I could. So
hey,
I'm
right there with you. I actually am starting him this week because Jarvis Landry's out. In our three sport league. So I hope you're right, and I agree with you. I think Randall Cobb, after disappointing last year, will be a bounce back guy. All right, Packers versus the Seahawks. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
I'm going to take the Packers at home.
Yeah, I mean, it could go either way, to be honest with you.
Panthers at Niners. What's your takeaway?
I know this is you're going to be like, Mike, you're absolutely crazy. I mean, this is like any other day, right? Because I am pretty crazy. But I love multiple things about the 49ers offense this year.
I do, too.
Multiple things.
I'm with you. I love Hyde. I mean, I've already talked about how much I love Pierre Garçon this year. I really like Matt Breida.
Oh, my God. I love Matt Breida. I love what I saw from Matt Breida in the preseason, and a lot of it was before the preseason even started. I loved Joe Williams, but then as I watched Matt Breida essentially just overtake the job, I was impressed, and I automatically just started, you know, getting Breida in almost every draft I was doing from that point forward. But I love Breida. I love Kyle Shanahan. I love Brian Hoyer because he is a legit quarterback two option. I play in multiple two quarterback leagues, and I have Brian Hoyer there, and I don't feel bad about it at all. I feel like confident that he can be a quarterback two for me as long as he's healthy, and obviously that's a massive risk, but I love the Shanahan scheme, and I'd say my biggest kind of crazy out of the box thought about this offense is Marquise Goodwin. I have Marquise Goodwin in multiple spots. He obviously has insane speed, and Brian Hoyer has a decent deep ball. Like I think Marquise Goodwin, especially some weeks, maybe not this week, but especially in some weeks, could be a fantasy factor. And I mean, I have him as a top 50 receiver this week. I think he's a worthwhile shot if you're, you know, somebody that's struggling for wide receivers, even though you shouldn't be right now.
Yeah, I'm with you right there. I'm interested to see what the workload differential is between Jonathan Stewart and Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey was just going so high in leagues, and I think the hype train got just way too crazy. I think Jonathan Stewart's still going to get a ton of the first and second down work. I think while McCaffrey did look good in preseason, I still think he's a gadget guy. I still think he is, you know, an interesting guy in PPR. And had some RB2 value there, but I mean, he was taken as an RB1.
Yeah,
and that's
insane. It's really high. I was in the same camp as you at the beginning of the preseason, and then the more I watched McCaffrey, the more I was just bought in. And when you think about it, the Panthers just haven't had an offense with this many pieces on it. When you have guys like Kelvin Benjamin who are in better shape now, then you add a guy like Christian McCaffrey who can kind of do it all. It really puts you in a better spot than I think that he's ever been in. I mean, Jonathan Stewart has always been kind of their guy, and you know, Cam really didn't get the full on D'Angelo Williams either. He kind of got the back end portion of that, you know, thunder and lightning type deal that they used to have. Back with Jake Delhomme and such. So I think that this is probably the best offensive players that Cam Newton has had to work with, which is why I kind of bought into McCaffrey more and more as the preseason has went on. I don't have many shares of him, but I do have a couple, and that is, you know, obviously buying into him being essentially a running back one or two for you. And I feel pretty comfortable thinking that he's going to get at least 20 touches a game. I think they're going to rely on him heavily.
All right. Panthers versus Niners. Who you got?
You gotta go Panthers.
Yeah, it's Panthers. Though I do think the Niners will be better than people think they will be, and that's just because they won't be a bottom three team.
Yeah.
All right, Giants at Cowboys, Sunday Night Football. What's your takeaway?
We want to talk about Zeke or the fact that Odell Beckham might not play. I mean, there's multiple routes to go. I suppose I'll go the Giants route. So if Odell Beckham doesn't play, which it's kind of up in the air right now, if he doesn't play, then I really like Sterling Shepard. I did not rank him as such this week, assuming that, you know, I had Odell Beckham as a top five option. So assuming that he doesn't play, then I think that you can put Sterling Shepard up into the top 30, probably. I don't love his season-long prospects, but I do think that if he is the second wide receiver this week, that he should get peppered with a ton of targets. We have Brandon Marshall, who's already nursing an injury from the preseason. If Odell doesn't play, then I think that puts Shepard in a really advantageous position to accrue some fantasy points. So I really like him this week. I'm not really touching Evan Ingram on the Giants side, but I do think that if Odell Beckham is out, you're going to see a lot of Shane Vereen, Paul Perkins, and Sterling Shepard.
Yeah. I'm with you on the Sterling Shepard. And something I mentioned that he could be a sneaky play if Beckham's out, and the closer we get to Sunday, the more it seems like Beckham might actually be out. So definitely have a backup option if you're a Beckham owner. You know, and it's nice to have two Monday night games in the opening week because that gives you an extra game's worth of players to back up your stud. But you need to have an option if Beckham is like a game time decision. So
what other options would you have? I mean, you could only maybe have somebody like Tyrell Williams, you know, ready in case, you know, in case Odell doesn't play. Or you could, I mean, if you have to pick up a guy, maybe you could pick
Ted
up
Ginn Jr.
Yeah, but he's not available. We can talk about that. Yeah, maybe Brandon Coleman could be the guy. So Brandon Coleman maybe is on pickup speed dial if Odell doesn't play. I think that's probably the best route. I mean, when you look at all the other options, like there's nobody on the Broncos wide receivers. I love me some Laquan, but I don't know about this week. We'll have to see. So
Dontrell Inman?
No, that's a no.
I wasn't suggesting that necessarily as for me it's probably Coleman and then Treadwell is the two guys that I would look at if like a Sterling Shepard wasn't available or something like that. But hopefully we'll have more clarity before that. I want to real quick just talk about the Cowboys side of the ball. I think a lot of people are really high on Dez this week. I'm not as high on Dez.
I'm not either.
I still have him as a wide receiver one, but just barely. I think there's a real chance that I'm assuming he's going to get matched up with Dominic Rogers. Cromartie?
No, Jenkins is the one that shut him down the last couple times.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think that. I just figured Cromartie was taller and, you know, better fit, you know, matches barely a little bit better physically, but. You might be right, but either way, I don't really care who gets Dez Bryant. That Giants secondary is the best secondary in the league.
Yeah, one of them at least. Yeah. I mean,
I'm all about absolutes. It's the best secondary in the league. Landon Collins is the man, and I think the way to attack the Giants defense is through the middle in the ground game. And so I think if you're a Zeke owner, this may be kind of a swan song for the next few weeks. I mean, who knows if he actually serves a suspension at this point. I mean, there may be legal action that takes place. There may, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But if you're going to be missing him for the next 6 weeks after this, enjoy this game because I think the Cowboys are going to run a ton up the middle.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what to say about Zeke. I don't think anybody does. If somebody is telling you something absolute about Zeke, then they
I don't think anybody
don't know.
Knows. I mean, we'll yeah. have a better idea tomorrow because supposedly there should be some kind of there should be something that comes out tomorrow legally that sheds some more light on what's going to happen after that. So maybe by the time you're listening to this, we all already have heard the news. But I don't even know if I believe once we do get news how that's going to stick.
Yeah, we don't know.
I think if Zeke doesn't get exactly what he wants, which is the suspension to go away, I think he's going to try to fight it with every legal option. So.
Yeah, and what happened with Brady a couple years ago when he had his 4-game suspension was he essentially played, and mm-hmm. then he ended up, you know, serving that suspension the next season. We could definitely see that here. I don't know.
We could also see
obviously.
Him serve that suspension during the fantasy playoffs.
Which, yeah, if you're a fantasy owner, the one thing that you are praying for is that he doesn't decide to serve the suspension, but after the second half. Like, that is what you are praying does not happen. You don't want him the first 6 weeks of this season. You want him the last 6 weeks. So if there's one thing you're rooting for, that's certainly it. But, you know, multiple people fall in different spots in terms of talking about this situation. At the end of the day, like, we just have to, as fantasy owners, we have to kind of just go with what happens. And if you have Darren McFadden, then you are probably feeling in a better situation than if you don't. So I would just, if you have Zeke, then I would try and get Darren McFadden if you do not have him.
All right, Giants versus the Cowboys. Who you got?
I'm going to go Cowboys.
I'm going to go Cowboys in a pretty close game.
Yep.
New Orleans, Minnesota, which takeaway?
You already talked about Ted Ginn. So, I mean, first and foremost, I love Ted Ginn this week. I think that he is made for this offense. It kind of sucks that the value of getting Ted Ginn kind of was lost towards the end of draft season here because multiple people were kind of on top of that. But earlier in draft season,
the Willie Snead suspension really.
Yeah, really kind of screwed him over. Yeah. But yeah, before that, I was able to get Ted Ginn at a much cheaper cost. It was really nice, to be honest with you. But Dalvin Cook's my boy. I think that he explodes in week one. I have him as a top 13 option, but I could easily see him being much higher than that, even upwards of top five if things played out right for him. He is behind one of the worst offensive lines in football, but at the same time, he knows how to catch the ball out of the backfield. He's good in pass protection. He's a good runner in between the tackles. He does it all, and I think that he's going to be a running back one this season, to be honest with you. So,
yeah, I got a lot of shares, Dalvin Cook, I'm with you on that.
You don't love Latavius Murray anymore?
Did I love Latavius Murray? I loved him when they signed him, but I mean, the drafting of Dalvin Cook and then the injury to Murray really hurt him. I think Murray is buried after what we've seen from Dalvin Cook in the preseason.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, which is unfortunate for him because I really thought in a full time role he could do something special. He's just not going to get that opportunity, in spite of the fact he got a big contract. Not a big contract, but he got a contract, a 3-year contract. You know, we talked about Coleman a little bit. We talked about Ginn.
Fleener and Rudolph, we can talk about them.
Let's talk about the New Orleans running game.
Oh, okay.
Because it seems to me it's a little bit of a clusterfuck.
Well, AP going back to Minnesota doesn't hurt.
Do you think... You know, what I wrote on Fantasy Alarm, my little blurb for Adrian Peterson is revenge game. You say I don't care, and neither do the Saints. like the Saints don't give a shit that it's a revenge game. I think this feels like a 50-50 split.
It could be, you know, to be honest, and I really like Alvin Kamara as well. So. There's so many ways that it's kind of the same as the Seattle situation for me. Like, I just don't want to mess with it until I see some type of clarity.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. And I understand, like, if you're sitting there listening to me, like, well, how does that put me in a better position? Like, how am I supposed to know what to do until everybody knows? Well, that's kind of the truth. If you watch the games and you see somebody that you feel is excelling more than somebody else, you know that there's easily a possibility that AP can get the lion's share of the work here, in my opinion. I mean, like, we've never seen a situation where AP hasn't been the main guy. So the fact that they signed him, I think is pretty much telling us that they want him to be a substantial part of this offense, and it could start this week. But I put him 16th among my running backs this week, and that's, I know you're not a big narrative guy, but he's going back to the place that he played his whole entire career. So if you don't think that he's going to get the lion's share of the work, at least in week one, then I think you're mistaken, because they're definitely going to try and let him eat. And maybe they don't, but in fantasy history, people did not bet on LaDainian Tomlinson after he left the Chargers. And now you have somebody like, and he ended up doing well. And now you have somebody like AP going to another team. I think he's going to do well too.
Yeah, you're crazy. They don't care. Like, he's going to get as much work as he gets. You know, and I think, like I said, this is kind of a straight up timeshare. And I mean, you know, maybe he gets an extra goal line carry or something like that. They're not going to give him more work because he used to play in Minnesota. If anything, that would be a strike against giving him more work because the coaching staff knows him well.
I don't know. I just feel like there's some transcendent players like AP that when they are forced into a situation just always kind of prevail. And, you know, LT, I kind of compare it to LT. LT was one of the best running backs of all time, if not the best. And when he went to the Jets, everybody wrote him off, and he ended up being a substantial fantasy guy. And
I'm not writing him off. I'm saying this week he doesn't get a boost in my ranks because he's playing against his old team.
Oh, well, and that's where you and I differ.
All right. All right.
Even though you want to talk about Houston and, you know, Hurricane Harvey.
I was joking. Come on.
No, you weren't.
New Orleans versus Minnesota. Who you got?
Narrative Street. I'm going to go with New Orleans.
I'm going to take the Vikings. Denver San Diego, which I think is a really, really interesting and fun game. So which takeaway?
There's so many routes to go. I'll just kind of state, my love for Jamal Charles. Like I'm rooting for him. I watched the same thing everybody else did in the preseason. And while people are probably making a bigger deal out of it than there needs to be, he did look okay. I think that he showed
some flashes of the guy he used to be.
He did. Their cutting ability obviously is not there right now, and maybe it comes back, maybe it doesn't. But I do think, based on CJ Anderson's injury pass, that Jamal Charles should be owned in pretty much all leagues at this point. So if he is on your waiver wire, even in a 10-team format, I'm willing to have him as a stash and just see what happens, because Denver, you know, regardless of their two main pass catchers, which are Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, who I do think are in for really good seasons this year, they do like to run the ball. And I think that Jamal Charles, if he were to get a significant role, could be a running back two or a back end running back two at that pace. And I like him. So we'll see what happens here. But I do think Jamal Charles is worthy of a stash, especially, you know, with CJ Anderson's injury pass. That it just continues to happen. And while I love CJ Anderson and I root for him every single year, there's just really no way that we can say with any type of certainty that he's even going to be healthy for half the game. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think you should be stashing D'Angelo Henderson.
He's awesome as well. He's so quick, and gosh, I'm trying to remember who he reminds me of. He's just like this little, maybe like Darren Sproles earlier in his career, just like this little guy running around all over the place, like looking like he's running 1,000 miles an hour. That's what he reminds me of.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Let's talk about Hunter Harvey, because it is Hunter Harvey coming out time.
Hunter Henry.
Did I write Hunter? Oh my God, I wrote Hunter Harvey in my article.
Oh nice.
Wow. My editors need to like pick it up over at Fantasyland. Hunter Harvey is a pitcher. Hunter, yeah. Henry. Henry, I think, should be heavily relied upon for targets against the Broncos. I think he is going to take a big step up this year. I said earlier in the preseason that I felt he was going to, or my one of my bold predictions for him was going to be that he's going to finish as a top five tight end. I'm sticking by this. This is the beginning of the Hunter Henry train.
Yeah, I have him as a top seven option this week. I love him. I think Hunter Henry is about as good as it gets in terms of tight end flyers. I'll be straight up. If I did not get Gronk, which for the most part, I only have one share of him, so I didn't get Gronk in a ton of places. If I didn't get Gronk, I got Jimmy Graham. If I didn't get Jimmy Graham, I got Zach Ertz. If I didn't get Zach Ertz, I got Hunter Henry. So those are the four guys that I have. Other than that, I don't really buy a ton. I mean, it's going to be kind of the tight end game. I do like Austin Hooper. I like a couple of other options that are late. Cameron Brate is one of them as well. But other than that, like Hunter Henry is one of those guys that, you know, people talk about flags, you know, being planted in certain players. And Hunter Henry is one of those guys. I couldn't agree with you more.
All right. Chargers, Broncos. Who you got?
I'm going to go Chargers. Go Chargers.
I'm taking the Broncos. They're at home. But I think it's going to be much closer than people give it credit for.
Oh, man. This is the Chargers' year, man.
I think Mike Clay picked them to go to the Super Bowl?
Oh, really? To the Super Bowl? I wouldn't have said the Super Bowl, but I do think that they can
and possibly will win
that division.
He went with a super bold prediction. Good. On Fantasy Alarm, my editor caught my Hunter Henry mistake. Good.
Hunter Harvey, I mean, he's got some good velocity. He's had some injury struggles.
Hunter Harvey's actually looked better this year. But, Mike Clay picked his Super Bowl matchup was Philadelphia versus San Diego.
Wow.
And, like, well, don't get me wrong, I love the ballsiness of the call. I'm not going there.
No. Yeah, I like the defense. Like I've always said, I mean,
I really like the defense.
We talked about Barrett. We talked about Casey Hayward. And
if Keenan Allen stays healthy, Mike Williams comes back, you could be talking about a really, really dangerous team, a team that could challenge the Raiders for that division. but I don't think they're – I mean
– Super Bowl contender strong. That's a strong
real,
way to –
Real quick before we wrap this up, who are your Super Bowl picks?
You have to go Patriots. On the NFC side, I really haven't thought about it too much. Gosh, if I had to think about it, I would say, man, I guess Seattle. Seattle on the – or Green Bay. Seattle or Green Bay. You know what? I'll say Green Bay. Green Bay, New England, that'll be my – but who am I rooting for to make the Super Bowl? Definitely the Buccaneers. And on the on the AFC side, I don't really have one team that I'm rooting for, but I would love to see either the Chargers or Raiders make it. But I think we all know it's going to be New England.
Yeah, I'm going to go New England versus the Giants.
The Giants?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, I guess you do always have these kind of off-the-wall picks that, you know, make it to a certain spot. But
oh, yeah, because the Vikings worked out real well last year.
Yeah, well, they could have if they ended up having Teddy Bridgewater. And
they hadn't, you know, fallen whatever. Apart. Yeah,
they could have. But, you know, the Vikings are still a candidate this year, really. I mean, they, other than their offensive line, it's kind of the same as the Giants. You know, both teams have pretty decent defenses. Both teams have terrible offensive lines, but they also have some, you know, pretty decent to attractive skill position players. So I could see, you know, they both might play each other in playoffs. You never know. But
I mean, I'd love to see Houston get there. I don't think they will. I don't think their offense is good enough, but I think the Giants' defense is good enough to get out of the NFC into the Super Bowl. So, all right, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Mike, what are you working on? Where can people reach you?
Reach me on Twitter, at Mike Horner, FWFB, wrapping up all my daily matchup stuff for Baseball HQ. If you're a baseball fan, if I get any time, I would love to write some articles for football. I'm friends with Fantasy Benefits, but in the meantime, you can definitely check out our weekly ranks there. I definitely will continue to put those out. So, yeah, check it out.
You can reach me on Twitter, at Justin Mason, FWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Read my football stuff on friendsoffantasybenefits.com and Fantasy Alarm. Then you can also read my baseball stuff on Friends of Fantasy Benefits and on Fangraphs. And then you can hear me on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network Thursdays from 9 to 11 Eastern, 6 to 8 Pacific for the Towers Hour. We'll be covering baseball and football and, I don't know, maybe some other stuff. Olympics are coming soon. so that's going to wrap us up for this episode. For me and Mike, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.